Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Welcome back to the programme. Keep your messages coming into us, 0833 97 97 97 on the text and the WhatsApp. Now, today, Women's Aid, a leading national frontline domestic violence organisation, releases its annual impact report for 2021. The report details the 26,906 contacts made with Women's Aid frontline services, including the 24-hour national helpline, that is, of course, a free phone helpline, as well as the National Instant Message Support Service and its Dublin-based face-to-face support services last year. During these contacts, 28,000 disclosures of domestic abuse against women were made. Support workers also heard almost 6,000 disclosures of abuse against children, 33,831 disclosures in total. CEO of Women's Aid, Sarah Benson, is on the line. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, good morning.
Those numbers, and I've mentioned this before in terms of COVID-19 and the amount of cases that have been announced, over the last 2 years, we sort of become numb to those figures. But when you strip them back, they're real people, 33,000 people.
Absolutely, and it was, nearly 27,000 contacts across our services last year. And we also, our national helpline, acts as the gateway to the many excellent local support services all around the country as well, including in Kildare with our colleagues in Chock Charman. So we know that even those staggering numbers are just the tip of the iceberg. And every time, you know, a woman picks up the phone, very often she has children who she's trying to protect and care for. So this is an issue that is affecting a staggering number of households in Ireland.
The new report provides an insight into, as you say, the staggering levels of abuse and, the different forms of abuse that are experienced by thousands of women and children in homes and relationships across the country. When we talk about abuse, though, it's a very wide-ranging word, I suppose. What exactly does this report find when women do ring the helplines?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we're working on domestic abuse or domestic violence. And what that is it's not one single incident of physical abuse or sexual violence or emotional abuse. It is a pattern of multiple instances of abusive behaviours that can cover all of those that I've mentioned. It can also include economic abuse. But what it does is it has this cumulative impact of coercively controlling somebody, wearing them down, isolating them, to the point where some of the impacts that women have reported to us are just staggering, and sadly the same as we have heard in previous years as well, is, you know, feeling a complete loss of identity, isolation from their family and friends, in some cases serious mental health consequences, depression, even suicide ideation, and indeed injuries that women have sustained as well. So this is something that is a relentless pattern of behaviour, sometimes going on for years and years, and even post-separation. The abuse doesn't always end, because it is about power, it is about control. And what women would say is, even when they have managed to extract themselves from an abusive relationship, the trauma and the impact of that has, in some cases, gone on for many years to follow as well.
Indeed, and I remember when your national 24-hour free phone helpline was launched, and since its launch it's provided a valuable service for people suffering from domestic abuse. But I was surprised that the number of calls have increased over the last year by 8%, an unprecedented 3,863 hours of direct support were given by your free phone helpline team.
Yeah, what we are finding is that the numbers are quite similar to 2020, but they still are a huge increase on previous years. So 2019, for example, pre-COVID-19, what we have in 2021 is a 30% increase. And as you mentioned, the number of talk hours, that's the amount of time directly engaged with those who are contacting the National Helpline, increased by 8%. And what our team are telling us is just that with the continuing, you know, impact of COVID-19, which has exacerbated things, which has put increased pressure on systems, which has made it harder in some cases to access support either of family or friends or of organisations, and other aggravating factors like, for example, the amount of people who are working from home, where perhaps work might have been a place of kind of sanctuary in some cases, respite, that has no longer been the case. So longer calls, more complex, deeper levels of distress as women are just trying to navigate this incredibly difficult situation.
Let's pick up on that point that you made there, Sarah, that people are finding it hard to access the support systems that are there. And as you're saying there, if, you know, phone lines maybe are quite busy, it might be hard to get through to organisations such as Women's Aid. Is there a need for the government to do more?
Well, I mean, I think what we've noticed is, and I want to emphasise, is that if anyone out there feels like, you know, there may be something in their relationship that is causing them concern or fear or worry, is that we are there 24/7, as are our colleagues all around the country and the sexual violence services as well. We're all still there. What we've seen, though, is that the systems that people are trying to navigate, you know, for example, you know, housing, we have a housing crisis, and that is also a housing crisis for those who may be at risk of homes due to domestic violence. Our court system, both the civil system and the criminal system, are heaving under pressure. We are urgently need more judges, and the systems themselves are quite traumatic, lengthy, and in some cases take years to navigate. And as I mentioned, even, you know, employment, which could be a place of respite for many, when working from home, you know, was for some in many ways a convenience, for others not so much. So it's like the whole of society has to take account of the fact that, you know, this has made it harder, and this issue hasn't gone away, and we are just about to have the publication of our new government domestic, sexual and gender-based violence strategy. It's the most ambitious one ever, and what we are saying is, you know, this is fantastic, but what's going to be crucial is the implementation of it. And while we're coming out of COVID now, I think we all realise that we're in an unprecedented time of global uncertainty with geopolitics, you know, with the economic crisis perhaps coming, and we must not forget that now is not the time to take our focus off of domestic violence and abuse, but to make sure that we carry through and implement everything we need to make life easier for those who are subjected to this form of abuse.
Yeah, that final publication of the third National Domestic, Sexual and Gender-Based Violence Strategy due in the coming days, and indeed when it does come out, we will reflect it here on Kildare Today. Is there also a need, Sarah, for men to be allies here? And I say that, you know, in terms of, we know that domestic abuse affects both men and women, but just in general, and my mind goes back to when that tragic case of Aisling Murphy, when she was killed in Tullamore, men came out, they supported women. Is there a need for that to be a more regular thing, that it's not just, you know, once or twice a year when something terrible happens that men come out and say, we stand with women and we're there for women, that it's a case where everybody works together?
100%. This isn't something that can be just when the worst happens and then we kind of move on to other things. We have to look at a sea change in our whole community response. You're quite right, domestic abuse can impact not just men in some instances, but also individuals in LGBT relationships. But it does nonetheless remain a highly gendered form of abuse, and it's also one form of a whole spectrum of abuses and violence that have that gender component, where women are particularly vulnerable at the hands of men. And what we've been saying for a long time is, and even more so in the aftermath of the murder of Aisling Murphy, these conversations we've been having, really welcome conversations with men, with companies who have, you know, EDI, like equality, diversity and inclusion programs, where men are coming together as allies, not just against misogyny, but also against racism, also against homophobia, is that the kinds of sexist, misogynistic, gender stereotypes, you know, that feed into a kind of really negative, narrow, hierarchical concept of masculinity, a very unequal concept of femininity, that's what feeds male violence against women, but it's also what feeds male violence against men, and it also inhibits, you know, men and boys in all their diversity from actually, you know, having fulfilled and authentic lives. So us working together for a gender equal society is so beneficial, not just for women, but also for men and boys. And, you know, we're increasing our own work in Women's Aid and with our colleagues. And even in the coming weeks, we're hosting events which are trying to raise that awareness of how men can be, you know, powerful allies with women and other people in the move towards gender equality and combating male violence against women, which will also help combat male violence against men.
Indeed, and it also has a knock-on effect to children as well. And as I mentioned at the outset, there were 5,735 disclosures of abuse against children, 28,000 against women. But just before we let you go, Sarah, the Women's Aid 24-hour National Free Phone Helpline, what is it, how can you get through to it, and also some of the other supports that Women's Aid offer, such as the messaging service, etc.?
Absolutely. So our National Free Phone Helpline is 1-800-341-900. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If English is not your first language, we have a dial-in interpreter service in over 200 languages, and that service can also directly connect you to your local service or refuge if that's something you need as follow-on support. And for any men who are experiencing abuse, we can offer signposting to the Male Advice Line, which is the free phone men's service run by the Men's Development Network. And our instant messaging is available through our two websites, womensaid.ie or 2intu.ie, which is a website for young people 18 to 25.
Yeah, super stuff. And as we always say, if you want to ring into us as well here at KFM, we can pass on those details for Women's Aid or indeed Men's Aid completely confidentially. But the launch of this report is this morning as well, the annual impact report for 2021, between 11 o'clock this morning and 12:30 this afternoon. You can get more details on the Women's Aid website and social media. Minister for Justice Helen McEntee will be speaking at it, Professor Louise Crowley of University College Cork, Gillian Dennehy, the Maternity Project Coordinator at Women's Aid, and our guest this morning, the CEO of Women's Aid, Sarah Benson. Sarah, thanks for joining us this morning, and well done on the great work you do.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. All right, just before we go to our next item, I was telling you about that crash on the N7 northbound. It's just before Avoca in Rathcoole, and significant delays now right down the N7 past on Putchin Steel, past Dasher and into County Kildare, crossing the border around Castle Warden and Athgoe. And on the line now I have Sandy O'Neill. She's a Newbridge resident, but she was driving along the N7. Sandy, good morning and thanks for taking our call.
Hi, Owen.
So you've just gone past it now, have you?
We've just gone through the accident. So it's just under the bridge at Rathcoole, and the traffic is down to just the inside lane. It looks like the accident happened on the outside lane. Mm-hmm. Now there's lots of fire brigades and ambulance and stuff, so it looks like it could be there for a while, because they're actually treating someone, on at least one person on the side of the road still. So it could be a good delay, I'd say, on that. And as I said, the traffic's down to one lane.
Okay, and could you see a significant amount of traffic then building behind you, Sandy? You've already passed through that crash and you're on the other side.
Yeah, it looks like it must have just happened when we were on the motorway. But we were held up for about maybe 15 minutes coming up to Rathcoole.
Mm-hmm. And emergency services at the scene now?
We all lots of, and like, of course, we're all nosy trying to see what's going on, but there's fire brigades kind of blocking everything on the road, you know, so it's very hard to know what's going on. I just saw one person on the side of the road and, like, people treating them there, so obviously it'll be a while.
Okay, hopefully it's not too serious.
Yeah, that's what we were hoping as well, like, you know, but as I said, we're nosy trying to see what was going on, all of us, but it's down to just one lane there. The traffic is moving very, very slow, obviously, with so much traffic on the road.
Okay, listen, Sandy, thanks a mil for taking our call this morning and getting in touch with us to notify us about that particular crash. As Sandy said, traffic down to one lane now on the N7 heading into Dublin, and I have it here on our satellite images as well, and traffic continuing to build as far back as Castle Warden Golf Club, or the turn off for Castle Warden, and that crash happened just under the bridge at Avoca there at Rathcoole. So be mindful of that. If that is part of your morning commute, you might want to consider an alternative route, because it seems as though that delay is going to be there for quite some time. Right, let's move on then, and Fine Gael councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District is Peggy O'Dwyer. She's on the line. Morning, Peggy.
Good morning, Owen.
We were contacted by a listener in Black Trench who was concerned about a very dangerous dip in the Black Trench Road. We'll get to that in a moment. But I was talking to you last Wednesday evening at the meeting at Royston Sports Hall in relation to the Beelan Woods Estate. Of course, they're calling for the footpath to be installed along the riverside. What did you make of that meeting briefly?
Well, I tell you, it's a public meeting, Owen. It was a very good meeting. It was nice to be able to actually go back out. I want to compliment the Newbridge Community Development Forum, who really led the meeting. It was chaired. It was fair. Glenn Vey had a representative there, public representatives there. The end result, Owen, is people want the path to be reinstalled, reinstated in whatever way we can on the river linear side to create that connectivity. We need to focus on sustainable movement, transport, and this is one link that we are determined to get put back the way it should have been and should never have been deviated from the original plan.
Yeah, I know Glenn Vey said at the meeting that they were meeting Kildare County Council over the next week or so, and there was to be an update brought forward after that meeting, and as soon as we have it, we will bring it to you and to listeners as well. Back to that issue then in Black Trench, and it's a road that I would travel quite frequently as well. For people who don't know, it's if you head out the Thomastown kind of Clongowrie Road from Naas on the way to Allen Cross, you will travel along the Black Trench Road. What is the issue along this road, Peggy?
Well, Alan, as you described the road there, you described the exact location of where this road is. It's a long, straight stretch of road, and what I would consider probably the foundations are originally all from bogland, so the centre of the road would probably have the original very, very strong foundations, but on both sides, that's where the issue is. So there has been multiple accidents on this road throughout the years, some with fatalities, and to those families I want to offer my condolences. So the gentleman that you actually contacted, you and I have met him, I met him out there last week. There is a dip on the road outside his house. We were hardly able to cross the road even to get onto the other side. The issue here, Owen, as well, is the number of HGVs travelling that road is phenomenal, because they're all coming from the quarries. So it isn't a situation, it doesn't need any more signage. It's like Las Vegas there with the signs. There's speed reducing signs, possible subsidence signs, speed information signs, driver behaviour signs. They're all there. It makes no difference. Driver behaviour, Owen, is really at the central core of any road accident situation. But for us and for us local county councillors, and I have been in contact with the engineer office here in Newbridge, we have submitted photographs. There is additional money allocated this year through the roads, and roads are really important. So I'm confident that we will be able to do some work on this road. Some has already been done. There's actually good improvements on it. But this particular house has a dip, and we could actually see where a vehicle had come off the dip and travelled the whole way along the grass margin outside his house. Only his wall was recessed. Mm. There would have been a fatality on that road.
As you say, there's a number of signs in the area, and I would know it quite well, and, you know, there are signs telling you to slow down, signs telling you how fast you're going, but does it seem to be this road needs to be levelled out? Is that the ultimate goal here?
Well, the levelling out of that road, only because it's essentially a bog road in the sense of the original foundation, the best that you can hope for is level out the spots that are of particular danger. Mm. And get back into that mode of the driver behaviour. We did have a speed van there for many, many months. I don't know where it's gone. I'm trying to just get it back there, because that in itself will just alert people to say, you need to slow down here. You know, but the lorries are a huge issue on that road, and they've no other way to go on, because, you know, they're not allowed to go through Cara.
Yeah.
So it is the main artery for all the HGVs. They've no choice. just to take that road. But at the same time, we need to make sure that it's a safe road.
Yeah, the listener that we were speaking to a couple of days ago described it as a very dangerous dip. I would have to agree with him there. And Peggy O'Dwyer, Fine Gael councillor, I know is of the same view as well. We'll keep on top of that issue also. It's on the Black Trench Road. You might just be mindful of that if you are driving in that area, a dip along the Black Trench Road. But Fine Gael councillor Peggy O'Dwyer, many thanks for taking our call this morning, Peggy, and good morning to you, Ciara.
Carers Week began yesterday, the 13th of June, and it's running until the 19th of June. We'll hear more about the week from the Head of Communications and Policy with Family Carers Ireland. That is Catherine Cox. Good morning to you, Catherine.
Good morning, Ciara.
So exactly what's going to be happening over the next 6 days left of the week?
Right. Well, look, it's really, really busy right across the country. And first of all, to say, I suppose, that the whole idea behind National Carers Week is to recognise and say thank you to family carers for the work that they do, because we know, particularly over the last 2.5 years, that that work often goes unrecognised and undervalued as well. So I think it's really important to say that. So across the week, there are hundreds of events going on right across the country. And if we look at Kildare, for example, I know there's an information session this morning from 11 to 12 in a Thai library in Kildare. And that's a session specifically for people who are caring for older adults. And we have an expert coming in to talk to carers about that. I know on Thursday in Kildare, in Castletown House in Selbridge, we have our Pause for a Cause. And that's basically where we get people out walking and talking. They bring along their dogs, so that's the pause, play on the word. And they just meet, they talk, they chat. And I think that's really important as well, coming out of COVID again when people were cocooning and isolated. So it's really nice that people are able to get out and about. And that Pause for Cause is actually a fundraiser for Family Carers Ireland as well. And people can register if they go onto our website, familycarers.ie, and they can get a lovely doggy bandana as well for an extra €5. But to go back to the week, there's everything. There's information sessions, there's art classes, there's lots of online things for carers who cannot get out or cannot get to these things. But there's also, thankfully, there's face-to-face events now as well, as we are trying to get back out, but also, you know, conscious that, particularly for family carers, there is still that concern there that if they go out, as COVID is still in our community and in our neighbourhoods, that concern is still there. So many family carers, unfortunately, are still isolating. So we just want to, you know, let them know that if they go onto our website, familycarers.ie, there are lots of events happening online as well that they can take part in.
Yeah, I'm just here on Family Carers Ireland's Twitter page in particular. You've been keeping everything updated. But just to state what you guys do at Family Carers Ireland, you're a national charity. You're supporting Ireland's 500,000, so 500,000 family carers mm-hmm. who provide care to a family member, loved one or friend with an illness or disability. And one of our contributors here to KFM Radio is Aisling McNiff. Hi. And she tweeted yesterday and she said, "Reality hashtag National Carers Week. These are Jack, her son's meds for today." It's a picture of a huge amount of medication, mm-hmm. Little syringes. I'd say I'm looking at about maybe 20, 24, and different types of liquids then in the far corner. The front row are his morning meds, she notes. There are some more drawn up in the fridge, so that's not everything I see in the photo. This doesn't show his inhaler, nebulizer, injection, infusion. Family carers have huge responsibility. And they obviously do have huge responsibility and feel it, but the greater public also has responsibility to take care of those who take care of the most vulnerable in our society.
Absolutely, and I would extend that to our government. Most definitely have a responsibility to take care of family carers. And as you said, carers save the state €20 billion every year. They actually prop up our health services. And I know Aisling really very well, incredible family carer, and there are thousands like that across the country. Their homes are like mini hospitals. During the pandemic, and you know, not to go back over this, but they weren't prioritised for things like vaccinations. They weren't prioritised
And you know, Catherine, if we're honest about the situation, you know, a pandemic still declared. We do know, unfortunately, cases of COVID-19 are increasing again. The declaration is still in place for a reason, and that means, as you note, a lot of these carers still cocooning, but obviously still hyper aware and hyper vigilant, and don't have the. I guess the benefit that other people who aren't at risk do have to kind of ignore COVID, some people, to a degree.
Absolutely. And, you know, over the pandemic, we had thousands of carers call our care line in crisis, many of them, you know, struggling financially, struggling emotionally. And I think the scars of the pandemic will be felt for far long after, as you said, you know, the rest of us can get back to some sort of normal living, you know. But for carers and the people that they care for, they lost their services. Things closed down almost overnight. They lost services. Their children couldn't go to school. Many said they watched the person they're caring for regress before their eyes. That's how serious it is. And I think we're going to see that over the next number of years as well, those scars. So it is so important that we recognise, we value, but we really support family carers. And, you know, as you said, that's a societal issue, it's a government issue, it's for each and every one of us as well. And it's why we're doing a fundraiser during Carers Week, because in order for us to support carers through our crisis fund, we need money in that fund, and that's the reality. So that's why Pause for a Cause. And if people go on, they can just register, it's just €10, you know, and they can get the bandana for a fiver. But it really is about raising much needed funds to support those family carers. And, you know, sometimes it's putting food on table and oil in tanks. That's how practical it can be.
Catherine, will you give me that helpline for Family Carers Ireland,
please?
I will
indeed. It's 1-800-240-724, and that's a free phone care line number, and we have volunteers and staff there who will listen and support, and hopefully refer people to wherever they might be in the country, to our local care support managers. And we have an amazing care support manager there in Kildare, Sarah, as well. So if there are people out there, go on to our website, familycares.ie. You will see where all our centres are. Do call us. We're here to help. Anything we can do, whether it's emotional support or practical support, we'll do our very, very best.
Okay, we hear that loud and clear. Thank you so much. That is the Head of Communications and Policy with Family Carers Ireland, Catherine Cox. And just to remind people, head over to familycarers.ie to find out more information about events that are happening in your county. You may be living on the border, maybe Wicklow, Offaly, Laois, whatever it may be, Dublin, and you can find out other events that are happening there. Just click on the tab and it will bring you to the different counties across the country. And also, as Catherine is noting, the helpline number is there. So familycarers.ie. Carers Week is running from yesterday, the 13th of June, until the 19th.